because of the love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By a compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing in the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
are here to end suffering.
If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Sequoia. That's something I could use the support of Sangha in looking at. We had some time yesterday afternoon that wasn't, you know, particularly scheduled. Mm-hmm. And I found myself doing tasks that I might normally do under the schedule. Mm-hmm. But I had a great time doing them. You know, uh-huh. I just didn't, it felt very non-pressured, uh-huh. And I just enjoyed doing these things and taking care, you know, to just being there and taking care of them completely, mm-hmm. from beginning to end. And so I just started looking at that because, I mean, the tasks are not really any different than anything I'm doing when I'm in a particular time frame. Uh-huh. It's just the conversation that starts in when there's just a time to have the task done by. Uh-huh. And also, you know, there's also something that goes on too when there, I believe that, you know, I project there are other people out there that are kind of waiting, mm-hmm. or are dependent on this thing being done, and you know, it's just all that kind of abandoning myself to, uh-huh. to I guess to be the right person, mm-hmm. to get it all done according to some standard, which is ultimately conditioning. Mm-hmm. And you know, I texted the guide about it, and she said, yeah, now let's see if I can remember exactly. Something like, the pressure is the devil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's pretty clear. and yet, wow, when that pressure is going on, it just seems so real. Mm-hmm. And it just seems so... this being has some trouble stepping outside of it, uh-huh. in certain circumstances. Anyway, it's just something I'm exploring, and if anybody else has any insight into that. And
so looking at the difference between unscheduled time and unscheduled time, and doing the same tasks in unscheduled time that might be done in scheduled time, but your experience of it was one of enjoyment and not having the pressure or the conversation that accompanies those tasks when it's scheduled time.
So and I see that come up a lot. It's a conversation that comes up, well, you know, maybe I can't get it all done now, but then maybe later, mm-hmm. when I have some free time, I can, uh-huh. just work on it at my own pace, or, uh-huh. you know, it's just something, uh-huh. that hooks me mm-hmm. in some way to yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's what I'm looking at this week.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you know, there are a couple ways in which I was looking at a similar time task pressure kind of mm-hmm. thing. There are a couple ways in which I was noticing it. One, during my month here at the monastery, I had a couple. There were, you know, a lot of the tasks were the same, but I would have different. It would be organized differently or different mm-hmm. supervisors, and I noticed that when I had like a job that, you know, like do this job this afternoon, or you know, mm-hmm. I got into that same kind of sort of pressure of like I've got to get this done, and mm-hmm. and I would you know, the whole. All the time I was doing each step, there was the next step in my mind. There was, you know, the goal, the finishing, and the feeling the need to get it done. And it was not a very pleasant experience. But there were other times when I might be doing the exact same task, but it was doled out in pieces. So like, first do this. And I didn't even know whether I would be doing the whole job because other people were around working on things. And it was so relaxing to just do the next step, because mm-hmm. I didn't know what the next step would be after that, so I couldn't go to, well, then I have to and look at my watch and see mm-hmm. if it was all going to work. And so I was looking at that in guidance one day and just seeing how, for myself, I can do that. Just mm-hmm. what's the next step? Uh-huh. What's the next step? And in some ways, that helped relieve some of the pressure of, I have to get this done mm-hmm. in this time.
So looking at, you might be doing this, the same tasks, but in one circumstance, it's you were responsible for the entire job mm-hmm. and had maybe an afternoon in which to do it, and in the other circumstance, it was doled out in pieces, small tasks assigned one at a time, and you didn't know if you would be continuing on to the next step of it. But looking at how you could do that for yourself yeah. and just assign yourself the next step and had a different experience of it.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing I noticed too, because I particularly would, I noticed I pick up on a kind of an urgent energy, whether it's going on around me or within me. Sometimes it's in me, okay, I have only so much time and I have to get this done. Or I'm in a group of people, you know, getting something done that's, you know, like the lunch has to get on the table and I'm sensing people moving quickly and, you know, and I can get into this real, you know, like particularly in the kitchen, I would look at it and it's like, okay, so I have to chop these onions faster. And and I finally got to, I'm just going to chop the onions. And mm-hmm. and I noticed that trying to chop them faster in order to be with the pace actually didn't get them done any faster than just mm-hmm. chopping the onions. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of got to, I'm going to have to look and see what way of being in this situation is helpful for this being and this works in this body mm-hmm. in a way that I can still do my part and not, you know, like I can't decide, well, I can only chop onions at a really slow rate because mm-hmm. then they might not ever get chopped. But it was some kind of middle way between I have to go at the pace that I'm feeling the urgency of and mm-hmm. just doing the job.
Mm-hmm. So finding that middle way for yourself that isn't going with the urgency of needing to do it faster, but just really staying with yourself and your own experience of mm-hmm. doing the job.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had the experience this morning of doing dishes, which, you know, I did a lot of dishes here at the monastery, mm-hmm. but here I was doing the dishes in my own space, in my own time, and mm-hmm. And it was, I was just slowly attending to the dishes, and it was a whole different experience than kind of just quickly moving them through the line. And it was just different. It was just, okay, at the moment I have all the time in the world to do the dishes, and so I'm going to take as much time as it takes to do the dishes the way I would like to do the dishes. Okay. And in other times, well, other times there's a lot of dishes that have to get done pretty quickly, and and I better just get in there and join the process of doing them. So, so I don't know. I guess maybe what it kind of comes down to for me is just being in the moment. What a surprise! You know, just seeing, okay, in this situation, this is what's available, and in this situation, this is what's available, and they're different, and I participate differently in the different ones, and that's interesting to see. And
So just really being in the moment and looking to see what's appropriate or what's available in that moment. Mm-hmm.
I do recognize that there is that the being has a preference for, gosh, I have plenty of time, I can, you know, I can take my time, and to, you know, this really does, you know, these things really do have to come off the clothesline, or this, you know, I mean, I do still have there is a liking more of doing at a pace that feels, quote, comfortable for the being. And I can do it either way.
So just noticing that there's a preference or a liking for doing it at a particular pace.
Yeah.
Thank you. Alex?
That's what's coming up for me as I was listening to folks talk about it. As I have an experience of, it's just a variation on the story, like one I like and the other one I don't. One I feel comfortable with and the other one I don't. So doing these, getting back into some workouts that I really enjoy, and realizing how out of shape I've become. And how easy they were at one point, and I was like, doing them today, and it's like, wow, I usually don't struggle this much during this part of it. Like, I usually get to the end, and today I started to have a conversation about, I don't think I'm going to make it to the end, because I had forgotten about this whole section of it that was coming up. I thought that I was kind of like near the end, And when I found out that there was a whole other section, that's when it was like, oh no, I'm definitely not getting that done. I'm not getting to the end of this one. But you know what? I noticed that the conversation was starting about it, and I just looked to see. I didn't make any conclusions about it. It was almost like, I know that there were variations and things like, you know, the way to make them more manageable, because I realized that I haven't been doing them for a while, I just did the modifications on them. You know, like whenever I felt like it was something pushing. You know, like there was a distinct. What was really neat about it was that I was playing a sport and I started to notice the conversation about what was coming up around it.
Doing a workout that you haven't done in a while, noticing the conversation come up that you weren't going to finish it, you weren't going to make it to the end, and really noticing that was happening, that conversation had started, and making adjustments to what you were doing to make the modifications.
Yeah, and it wasn't like I had planned to do it or anything like that, or it just felt like that's what was. Like, I tried to do them, and I realized, okay, this is really, I'm going to, you know, something's gonna give here, and I haven't done it in a while. Which may be a conversation, too, but it's true. I haven't done it in a while. And I think, I don't know, part of it is just paying attention to what was actually happening. Because when I was listening to the onion part, it was like, I've done it, I've chopped onions. And then times that I know that I feel comfortable doing it at a particular pace, and I think it's only just a matter of practice. It's like, it feels like, you know, Sherry talks about like being in shape for catching that bus. It's like, we're being grateful for the fact that I'm in shape, that I can actually run after that bus to get on it. And I think that's a part of it. It's just like, something about participating in something without there being a story about it.
Mm-hmm. Participating in something without there being a story about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only thing that keeps coming up for me is the sports analogy, how fun it is to have a story coming up while I'm actually engaged in, mm-hmm. in something. You know, sometimes I'm moving fast and sometimes I'm moving slow. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what's going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's only way I can feel urgent about something is if there's a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm just going really fast.
Mm-hmm. So the only way to feel urgent about something is to have a conversation going on about it. Otherwise, you're just moving fast.
Yeah, and I could have. It's funny because I have a story where I can have something going through about moving fast and saying, I really enjoy this. You know, it's like instead of the, going slow and thinking that I really enjoy that. So it's, I just find that really fascinating.
Thank you.
What I was looking at for me was sometimes I like going slow and sometimes I like going fast, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I was thinking about, like, you know, in the kitchen, like when there's a big event like there was, you know, and it's sort of like, whoa, this train is moving and I'm a little hot, you know? And so I need to move at the same speed as the rest. And what I was looking at was something I think to do, or that comes up for me to do sometimes that doesn't others, and when it does, it's really helpful, which is if I find myself moving faster than feels good, mm-hmm. to slow down. Mm-hmm.
If you find yourself moving faster than feels good, to slow down.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good when I feel like it's that I'm being pushed. Mm-hmm. If I'm just moving fast, it can feel really good. Mm-hmm. But if I feel like I'm being pushed, that's not fun. And to slow down, but if I'm in that middle car, I can't slow down for long. Mm-hmm. So what I was looking at was developing a practice of slowing down even for an instant. You know, that I think it does work sometimes for me to literally slow down for about the length of two breaths. Mm-hmm. And what it does is just break the sense of being pushed. Uh-huh. And that's what is difficult, not mm-hmm. the speed, actually. Mm-hmm.
So it's not actually the speed that's difficult, it's that pushing mm-hmm. that's difficult. So if you can slow down even for the length of two breaths, mm-hmm. that interrupts that pushing. Mm-hmm.
And also, but the other thing that came up for me is just remembering this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. So, for example, over the last month, the first 2 weeks where I was on my own were pretty leisurely, relatively, mm-hmm. and then there were a whole bunch of things, appointments, events, mm-hmm. the last 2 weeks, and things to get done, and you know, and it was one of those things where pretty much every moment mm-hmm. I had to be doing something, mm-hmm. and by and large it was fine. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that I don't want to be at that pace all the time, mm-hmm. but also recognizing that I don't have to be. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? That this was a chunk of time, mm-hmm. and it would pass. Mm-hmm. And if I could just not feel pushed, mm-hmm. and if I could just drop the notion that actually anything is pushing me, uh-huh. that I just that. I mean, I think that's it. It's, mm-hmm. it's some belief that I'm being pushed, mm-hmm. and somehow this isn't volitional. Mm-hmm. And if I can, and I think that for me, for that stopping for an instant breaks that thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, it stands in the face of that thought, mm-hmm. and just takes that pressure off. Because as I'm looking at that, that's where the pressure comes from. Mm-hmm. It's not the speed of the events, actually. Mm-hmm.
So the pressure comes from that notion that you are being pushed. That what you're doing is not volitional. Mm-hmm. So stopping just for that brief period of time to slow down interrupts that.
Yeah, I'm projecting some external pressure, mm-hmm. some external reason I have to be doing this at mm-hmm. this speed, mm-hmm. and I think that's where I think that belief is where the pressure comes from.
Mm-hmm. That belief is where the pressure comes from. Mm-hmm. And somehow it, there's an external source of the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Because actually, going back to the original example, I've been in situations where this just went slowly because there was a slow person somewhere along the line. And mm-hmm. you know, we all survived.
Mm-hmm.
We just came back later and finished him or something, you know. And so that sense of, I've got to, get this done. Well, I don't actually.
Uh-huh.
But boy, if I get into the belief that I do and somebody else is making me do it, that's where it's no fun.
Mm-hmm. That's where it's no fun if you are in the belief that you have to get it done and someone else is making you.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Yeah, so the belief and then what I was just saying is the practice of just, even for that long, just slowing down, just stopping,
mm-hmm.
Helps me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I had a very similar experience yesterday afternoon. I was given work assignments, three work assignments in a time frame would be the rest of the day. That was it. And in no particular order, which doesn't happen very often. And just kind of work at your own pace. And I saw a condition come in right away with how it should be done,
mm-hmm.
and I just stood back and watched it wanted a particular order,
mm-hmm.
and I did in the exact opposite order of what it wanted, which is really fun to watch, because
mm-hmm.
I could see it was going for preferences,
mm-hmm.
like this would be better if it was done first, and there was no meaning in any of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So given three tasks and the rest of the day to get them done in no particular order, you saw conditioning come in with a preference and an order for how they should get done.
Mm-hmm.
And so you did it in the complete opposite.
Yeah, I did it in complete opposite order. And when I was doing them, I had such a similar experience. I would say in most of my working meditations, get that great sense of urgency. And when it arises, it's a great reminder that the aim of working meditation is not getting things done.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opportunity to be in the mind of meditation or to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And that dropped in a lot yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of nowhere, it was really fun to just realize, oh, I just get to be present with what I'm doing. And I wasn't sure if I was really aware how quickly or how slowly I was doing it, but I got a sense that it was efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you had the sense that it was efficient and it dropped in frequently that the aim of meditation is not to get things done, but to be present to what you're doing.
Right, right. And it was really neat to see the afternoon just flow. It was very relaxed. The pressure that I often feel from the urgency wasn't there, because I think I was just present around the activity I was doing, the tasks I was doing. I've done all the... there was one new task I hadn't done for a long time, which was... it was fun to do that new task, because the other two tasks I'd done a lot. And it was still interesting to see those. I hadn't done them in a time frame in a while, but I've done them many times.
Mm-hmm.
But the new task was fun to see, because then I saw conditioning come in with a lot of better ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It often comes in with better ideas when I haven't done something
mm-hmm.
regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you got to see with a new task and how conditioning came in with better ideas.
Yeah. And then I just remind myself, well, that's not what the guidance was. Mm-hmm. The supervisor said these are the things to focus on,
mm-hmm.
and the better ideas weren't things that were even brought up.
Mm-hmm.
So I could drop that and go, well, you know, it may or may not be required, but it wasn't what I was
mm-hmm.
encouraged to focus on my attention. So I just dropped those better ideas. And, you know, kind of before I knew it, the tasks were done,
mm-hmm.
Completed, I guess is a word to say, I'm done. And I didn't feel the pressure of the urgency of most working meditations,
mm-hmm.
which was very relaxing for this being.
Mm-hmm. So it was very relaxing to see the tasks get completed,
uh-huh.
and not have that experience of urgency.
Yeah, yeah. And what I use, I don't know if I heard this on a radio show, or I use a little tip when I get really super urgency, when I've got conditioning projecting also that I'm a good person, mm-hmm. if the tasks are completed, mm-hmm. and I'm a bad person if they don't get completed. Mm-hmm. And any task that I've not completed, and I wrote to the work director that this task is at this point of mm-hmm. its process, never once in the years, I've been coming here, there's a, oh, but you should have got that done, or what's wrong with you, or gee, that was kind of slow. Not once, ever. Yet, I've got this internal projection saying that I might be good or bad depending on the level of completion that it occurs.
So just seeing that projection that if you complete the task, you're a good person. Yeah. If you don't complete it, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
But looking at your experience that you've never received any feedback
no.
that you should have gotten it done, or what's wrong with you, or anything of
never,
that kind.
Never, never. And in fact, the opposite has happened. I've actually been caught in urgency, not aware of the urgency, and actually I had guidance from supervisors saying, "It's you know, we got lots of time. You know, it's okay. You know, we can just you know be present and take our time and relax into it and just see as far as you go. Let's just see how far you get." Mm-hmm. And that right away, that broke the urgency immediately. Like, oh wow, that was all this internal expectation, because mm-hmm. there was no external expectations at all. Mm-hmm. And that's what it constantly projects, these external expectations. Mm-hmm. And it was really kind to have that from time to time. The supervisor just says, hey, you know, well, we've got all the time in the world. Or if we don't get it done, sorry. More confident, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So going up an opportunity to see that it's an internal mm-hmm. expectation, not an external.
Yeah.
Okay. June.
This is a change of subject. Something I've talked about here in here often. There's a strong undercurrent in this person of mm-hmm. You're a fake and a phony. Mm-hmm. Your motivations for doing things, the reason you do what you do, it's just the epitome of unchaste conduct. Mm-hmm. You hide yourself, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So it, all through the retreat, I was aware of it. Mm-hmm. All day today, it's been aware of it. Mm-hmm. And it's strong enough that I can feel the belief mm-hmm. that it has a point. So, you know, there's, I guess, just as a tactic, I could just start agreeing with it. Okay, sure.
So there's an undercurrent that you're fake or phony, or your reasons for, your motivations for doing things are unchaste, and you've watched that process through the retreat and today, and it's been strong enough that you can feel that there's some level of belief that it has a point, and so it occurred to you as a tactic to just agree with it.
I guess I wanted to go away. Mm-hmm. I saw that vision reflecting. Mm-hmm. It hasn't, I mean, I've said this, it's one of the very first, you know, in the whole process of becoming aware of mm-hmm. the process. It's one of the first things I've noticed many years ago is there's a belief in here, and it's I've always had it. It's, I have always had it. So perhaps a better tactic is just to direct the attention.
Mm-hmm. So a process.
A better practice.
Better practice would be to direct the attention.
Just lose interest.
Mm-hmm. Just lose interest.
Even when it's so loud and so strong. Mm-hmm. I guess I guess when it feels threatened, it gets louder and stronger.
Mm-hmm. When it feels threatened, it gets louder and stronger.
Yeah.
And so even when it is loud and strong, to directly
just know that it's being threatened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's probably backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And just breathe and redirect the attention.
Just breathe and redirect the attention. And know that it's threatened and it's probably backlash.
And look at who it is that wants it to go away.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Mm-hmm. Who is it that wants it to go away?
I don't think that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I better say it or I'm going to miss it. You know, I've been watching as people were talking. So it seems to me that I come on retreat and that it took me a while actually to disidentify. Mm-hmm. And then I start practicing because I'm disidentified, so it's easier for me to keep my attention on the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the spaciousness, the pressure's off. Mm-hmm. And then I see, wow, when my attention's here, no pressure. When my attention leaves, there's a lot of pressure. I noticed it in women who were doing the walking of the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And when my attention was under the thoughts, so in a part of the breath that seems to be under the thought, there was no pressure and everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it would slip, I was annoyed because the people in front of me were not keeping step correctly. And then I would like, another part of me would start making up a story about how they're older and it is kind of rocky to make it that whole system feel better. But what I noticed was as soon as the attention was back on the breathing, that everything was fine. It was just astounding.
Uh-huh.
So what I got as people were talking is it was getting me again. So there I go, my attention's on the breathing, I'm disidentified, I go up to my house, and it starts telling me a story that I feel less pressure because everybody's being so nice. But that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling less pressure because my attention was on my breathing.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes that in the same way. I've been looking really close because, you know, I talked about that thing I saw in that session, and Sherry said I could keep looking. But that is what happens. There I am being present,
mm-hmm.
and it comes in to tell me a story about, well, the reason you're feeling relaxed today is because Andrew took the kids to soccer and you didn't have to go,
mm-hmm.
or people are so excited to see you, they're not so annoying. But that wasn't true.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't true. And I just saw it as people were talking.
Uh-huh. So seeing how your attention is with the breath and you're relaxed and there's no pressure, and then conditioning comes in with a story as to why you're having that experience, that it's something external, that it has to do with the way other people are behaving.
To try and get me to keep my attention out there,
mm-hmm.
hence to lose. Then I start feeling pressured and annoyed again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fascinating. And I was really, really surprised. Now, that doesn't mean that I haven't noticed that if everybody is behaving themselves, so to speak, there is less for that scanning ego to attach to.
Mm-hmm.
So I do notice it can be helpful, actually, if I don't fall asleep, to bring the attention back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was going on a little bit too. I think there were, it's kind of like that privileged environment thing. Here, we get to practice being the privileged environment, but there's also one around, so it's kind of double good.
Mm-hmm.
Out there, a little bit, I am practicing being the privileged environment, but sometimes others, it's not set up in the same way or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I'm going to keep that old attention. I'm going to, just for now, I'm just going to be grateful that I got to get a little, what's it called? Oomph to, like retreats do. They just give me a little
And so you'll continue to practice that, practicing with your attention on the breathing, and then seeing the stories that come up to explain that experience and to pull your attention back out.
Yeah, the story says that it's, you know what it says, it's too hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to be able to do that, really, Susan. I mean, maybe for a couple more days or something, but I'll keep checking in about it.
Thank you. Alex?
Sorry, there's just this one thing that keeps coming up, and I'm trying to see how it would fit in, because I have the perspective of harping back to the conversation that happens as I'm doing a task, it's like what was started with was like, you know, so that if there's a certain time frame in which I'm expected to do something, because that really does exist. You know, in my position I had during this retreat, you know, the meal really does have to get out 12:30, and so I was looking at, I'll just go at my own pace, and I looked at that and I was like, to a certain degree, I can only, you know, go as I'm going at the speed that I'm going, and life is directing, and you know that it's kind of like converge, like everything is coming together to converge at this time, you know. And it's like, what is very fascinating for me though is that in the position that I am in, is that part of being the moment is the observation that I can call for help. You know, because part of it is either do it all yourself really quickly and injure yourself and others in the process of doing it, or it's like there's an expanded awareness that happens at a particular point where it's like, well, this is not all come together, and I can either say to heck with it, which is listening to a conversation, or push really hard, or outside of the box is responding to life and say, I need, you know, three more people. I need, you know, them to focus on this, because the only way it's going to happen is if three more people come in and focus on this. And it's a variation on, I'm asked to fill up a hole. I've used this analogy before over the years. I'm asked to fill up a hole, but there happens to be an animal lying at the bottom of it. But well, you know, no one ever told me that there was going to be an animal, so I just start, you know, filling the hole with the animal at the bottom of it. And kind of like, you know, the body and the road, you know, analogy that we use is like, well, I'm keeping the privileged environment, you know, I'm not going to, can't help you, bleeding person. And it's just a really fascinating to consider other options as I'm asked to do certain things.
Mm-hmm. To consider other options and to look from that bigger perspective, where there's the one perspective where you have to get it done, even if it means moving so quickly you injure yourself, or to heck with it, or one of those conditioned points of view. Or there's this other perspective where it's an observation that you'll need three more people to focus on this one thing in order to get it done at the time that it needs to get done.
Yeah.
And to have that choice available to you.
Yeah. It's like Sherry says, communication makes things work. Mm-hmm. And part of what's so challenging with conditioning is those synapses never come together. It's like, and could be that part of taking the pressure off for myself is, as I'm doing a task, I could just say, hey, I'm not going to get this done. Is that going to be an issue? You know, and then allow life to step in another person to do that. Or I'll find out information, oh, you know what? It's okay. We have another work period that we can have to do that in. Rather than being a conversation that I'm in about whether I should go faster or not do it anymore.
Yeah, so rather than being in a conversation where it's really just you and conditioning to bring
right.
it out of that and communicate and then see what's available.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I wanted to offer.
Thank you. So, Claudia.
Well, this has been great, and I've seen a lot, and one of the things that just I just saw was the element of being a victim mm-hmm. that happens mm-hmm. in the whole thing, and that whole thing of it's somebody making me do it, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I saw that's the kind of the shift that happens mm-hmm. when time is unstructured, and you know I have the illusion that it's you know mm-hmm. me I'm mm-hmm. doing it, nobody's making me do it. And how that how that just slips into being a victim, like they want me to get this done in an unreasonable amount of time, and you know, and poor me, mm-hmm. And as we were talking in the retreat, you know, that being a victim is just the payoff is I get to victimize. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just seeing that, the way I victimize is, well, I didn't get it done. Mm-hmm. Rather than going to that place of, looking at that what can, you know, being an adult mm-hmm. and saying, I do need some help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what's got to happen in order to get this accomplished. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so that was really good to see. Mm-hmm.
It's really good to see the element of being a victim that can come into play when it's the scenario where you're in scheduled time versus in unscheduled time. You have the illusion that I'm choosing to do this, I know it's making me do it. Mm-hmm. And then the other than the conversations, they're making me do this, or they expect me to get this done in an unreasonable amount of time. Mm-hmm. And then seeing that being a victim, payoff of victimizing, and that plays out with not getting it done, and seeing that other option of communicating and saying this is what needs to happen in order to get this done.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that going on. Mm-hmm. The other thing I've been seeing with the conversation this morning is. Indulging the story mm-hmm. and how there's just no room for indulging the story. I mean, mm-hmm. I just recently saw that, when I first came as a new monk, I indulged a lot of stories. I mean, it seems like oftentimes in group I would talk about how things weren't going right, and I just didn't get that nobody wanted to hear about that. why would they want to hear about that? You know, that's what's really going on. But just seeing that that it was indulging the story, mm-hmm. and it just keeps it just kind of helps to keep it in place.
Mm-hmm. Indulging the story just helps to keep it in place.
Yeah, whether I'm telling myself that story over and over again, or whether I'm telling somebody else that story over and over again, mm-hmm. Which has been one of the advantages of monastic life, is mm-hmm. that in my other life I would tell that story mm-hmm. over and over and over again to whoever would listen, mm-hmm. and I just kept indulging it and keeping mm-hmm. it in place, mm-hmm. and I just want to. I just noticed the shift in my recording and listening practice too, mm-hmm. because I realized I was kind of doing that with mm-hmm. my recording and listening practice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, I don't have anybody to talk to, but I'm gonna indulge this story uh-huh. again. Uh-huh. You know, on the recorder, mm-hmm. and saw that I don't know, something just shifted, and that now that I picked the recorder up. Instead of the person who wants to tell the story being the first one that speaks, mm-hmm. now it is the mentor that mm-hmm. speaks mm-hmm. first, mm-hmm. and says hi, you know, whatever she wants to say, mm-hmm. and it's just interesting to see how a lot has just fallen away mm-hmm. that I used to just go on about. Uh-huh. It's like I don't even want to go there anymore. Uh-huh. Because she, you know, because we started from that place of what that person needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, I'm just, it's been great.
Seeing that shift in your recording listening practice where you saw, and I imagine through listening, you were able to see that the recordings that you were making were indulging the story. Mm-hmm. And then a shift in your practice, that the first person now to speak when you pick up the recorder is the mentor.
Right.
And so you start from the place of that person who might be the one to indulge the story, hears what she needs to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's less room for conditioning to come into and just pick a hold of the recorder. So
mm-hmm.
we'll keep watching.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I can hear water. That's water too. I never heard that before. Pressure's the devil, but wow, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
I recently heard this talk, and this person was talking about how crazy society is with everybody's basically addicted to adrenaline, that we have these natural ebbs and flows, mm-hmm. Ups and downs, mm-hmm. and in the society, in order to operate and accomplish at the pace that is expected, people basically get revved up and stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to do that, you have to have a constant stream of adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how people have such a warped perspective of life to the point where they think it's a burden to have to go grocery shopping,
mm-hmm.
rather than realizing, oh my God, all I have to do is go to Whole Foods or the corner grocery store and pick something up. I don't have to go till the soil and plant the seeds and grow it and have pesticides ruin, whatever. And then he goes, so it's gotten to the point where people will get crazed over whether somebody's in the, seven items or less aisle, and they have more than seven items, so they're counting the items. And, what he said that I had never quite seen before, which relates to pressure's the devil, is that in order to maintain that level of adrenaline, you have to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a problem solved.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struck when Susan was talking about walking meditation, that, when you're with the breath, there is no problem. And then as soon as our attention wanders, these people can't walk, and what's wrong with them? And it's a huge problem. And I don't know, that it just really struck me as so true.
Yeah, so it really struck you as so true that that in order to go at the pace required, where it's just that in adrenaline-driven pace, that you have to have a problem,
mm-hmm.
there has to be a problem to solve. And how when you're just here with the breath,
mm-hmm.
such as during walking meditation, mm-hmm. there is no problem. But when your attention leaves the breath, then there's a problem with the way people walk.
Yeah, and that's why pressure's the devil, because
mm-hmm.
pressure is creating a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem that has to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's something else there which I'm losing here. So I lost it, but there's something. Maybe I'll come back. So I was in this situation the other day where I had an afternoon, and there was a lot of pressure. I had to get all this stuff done for this big event that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to say something to this very wise person who looked at me and said, "You can either have your afternoon or you can live in pressure."
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, "Just do the next thing."
Mm-hmm.
And I it was like one of those. Wow,
mm-hmm.
everything was going to get done that needed to get done, and I could either have my afternoon
mm-hmm.
that I'm never going to have again,
uh-huh.
or I can give it over to conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And I chose to have my afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and it was fine.
Uh-huh.
But I was in this whole, oh my God, uh-huh. I was in a sense, I was getting off on the pressure and the identity of I'm a person who has all this stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that adrenaline is destructive to my
mm-hmm.
well-being.
Mm-hmm. That adrenaline's destructive to your well-being, and you were, in a sense, getting off by being an identity with so much to do and all this pressure, and it was said to you that you could either have your afternoon or give it over to the pressure. And so you chose to have your afternoon and just do the next thing, and it all got done, and you got to have the afternoon that otherwise would have been given over to conditioning or to the pressure.
Yeah. And this is slightly off, switching, but I feel like it's totally connected. I think I wrote about this in the facilitator's blog, but when I was taking a walk yesterday afternoon, I was just experiencing so much gratitude for the practice and how much it's given me and how my life has changed because of it. And the thing that that for some reason, you know, I've read Transform Your Life many times, but the quote that has stuck with me this year, and I don't even know what month or day it's on, is the one that goes something like, perhaps the greatest arithmetic for us to master is the one that allows us to count our blessings. Which is related to this, right? Because, you know, I mean, my God, I'm in the line for seven items, and there's people here who have eight. So you can't really count your blessings in that attitude of mind. And I was just so grateful to, because I feel like what this practice has given me is, well, on some level it's taught me basic arithmetic, because it's given me a life from which I can see all the blessings I have. And I can see so many people who have so many blessings and they can't see them.
So this practice has given you the gift that you are able to see your blessings, and you can see other people who have many blessings and don't see them.
Yeah, I guess another way you could say that is it's allowed me to receive.
It's allowed you to receive.
Yeah. Some, it's, you know, it seems it's such a simple thing and such a huge transformation.
Such a simple thing and a huge transformation. Thank you, Penny.
So I'm in listening, in what people are saying, what's really coming up for me is that notion of asking for help. And just seeing, as that was described, how I've been given this task and I have to do it is just one of those isolating, conditioning things, keeping me isolated. And all around me there is help. And conditioning has to keep me isolated so I don't get it.
Conditioning has to keep you isolated so you don't get it. But all around you there's help.
Yeah.
And when you stick with that idea that I've been given this task and I have to do it,
yeah,
it keeps you in that isolated place.
Yeah, and how always I'm always, even when I'm alone, I'm always part of some larger we. You know, and I can turn to that. And all my upbringing, training about being a responsible person was about not turning to that. You know, it was all about, I mean, sort of the paradigm was, I have to do it, I really can't, and I must.
I have to do it, I really can't, and I must.
By myself.
By yourself.
And so, so asking for help is just such a huge relief. Release. I remember one time years ago, when there was some gathering, I think it was the Living Compassion Board at the time, and we were talking about writing something. And I remember having this experience of, I said, well, I'll do the first draft. And so I wrote it, and I remember thinking, all I have to do is put something on paper and we will create whatever will result. And just the freedom in that, you know, after years of academia where I had to write the paper and it had to be an A paper, and to say all I have to do is do this and then turn it over and we will come up with something wonderful. That was just like, that was just one of those life turning points. And I can keep receding from that life turning point and keep coming back into this isolated me, thinking I have to do it all, and how important it feels. And I feel grateful to be reminded of that today. That's why Sangha is one of the, you know, the three refuges. We're not just left with Bodhi and Dharma, but Sangha, that there's always a we to carry me. mm-hmm. and to carry whatever needs to be done along with carrying me.
Yeah, there's always a we that can carry you and carry what needs to be done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and just feeling that, again, it's that sense of the pressure falling away.
Sense of the pressure falling away.
Yeah. There's one more thing I just wanted to say today of all days. When I was walking around during the precepts, I had these moments of thinking, of all the things I could be doing in the world, mm-hmm. I'm doing this, mm-hmm. and this is so good. Mm-hmm. I was so grateful. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of things people can do in the world, uh-huh. and I was doing this, mm-hmm. and it's all it's just a good thing. Uh-huh. And how fortunate! Mm-hmm. I'm walking around with a group of people who want to end suffering. Mm-hmm. Holy cow! You know, there are lots of group of people I could be walking around with, uh-huh. and I just have that sense of all of us as being those turtles that come up through the life raft, you know, in the uh-huh. middle of the ocean, and somehow we all got here, mm-hmm. and it just, mm-hmm. it's astounding, and uh-huh. I just am so grateful.
Mm-hmm. So grateful that of all the places mm-hmm. that you could be, of all the things you could be doing in the world, yep. that you were here with a group of people who wanted to end suffering.
Yeah, it's a miracle.
A mm-hmm. miracle.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
I just want to second that. Mm-hmm. This morning, too, I picked up my recorder. That's what came out. It's mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh. I woke up in this beautiful place mm-hmm. with, you know, every comfort that I could possibly want mm-hmm. and wonderful food awaiting me and all these folks and a guide who just wants for us. I think she said it before, the same deep happiness that she knows. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's all she wants. Mm-hmm. And for to support each of us to end suffering. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that astounding or what? How'd we get, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, what else could there possibly add? What could I possibly add to this mm-hmm. day?
What can you possibly add to this day?
And it's just a lot to be grateful. Mm-hmm.
Justin?
I'll third that. it is really amazing. No condition doesn't have that point here, obviously. But I think that's a big thing of precepts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the recommitment that mm-hmm. happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was really trying to have it be that commitment be real, mm-hmm. you know, as we're going through what we went through. And to have my heart in it mm-hmm. While it was going on. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful too for this place and for all the people and everything that has come to make it be. Mm-hmm. There was one point where we were telling old stories, and that's always. I always get that when we tell the stories. Mm-hmm. It's, there's just been a lot of that's gone into this, a lot of time, a lot of people, mm-hmm. just a lot of practice. Mm-hmm. So.
A lot has gone into this, a lot of time, a lot mm-hmm. of people, a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can tell how much it, how important it is, and how sort of close to my heart it is by what. The reaction conditions mm-hmm. happen. Mm-hmm. I always forget mm-hmm. that, and it happens every year. That there's always this thing that happens before precepts, mm-hmm. and I always think it has something to do with something else, but it always has to do with precepts. And I got it yesterday. I get it till yesterday morning. He's like, that's why all this has been going on. And I've been having a little bit since then, a little backlash, because you know, there's a little space that opens up, that opened up, and tends to open up in the middle of that, where it's just. Yes. Mm-hmm. I was going to say more actually, but that really is it. Just yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And yes. You know, before the conditioning's fighting that beforehand, it's like mm-hmm. it knows what's going to happen, even though I've forgotten mm-hmm. that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it fights it afterwards because mm-hmm. it's happened and it tries to take it away. Mm-hmm. But there's that little bubble in there. Mm-hmm. It's just yes, it's really clear. It feels like it just kind of cleans everything out inside. Mm-hmm.
Yes. There's that mm-hmm. little bubble there of yes. And there's all the conditioning. Before that and after that, and so you can know that's it's kicking up what it kicks up in response to that yes.
Yeah, and to get it too, this has been helpful for me recently. Is that's what life, or my life anyway, is about, really, is just going up against that condition, that resistance. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, it seems, I have this idea, this condition idea, I'm sure, but that's not what life's all about. Mm-hmm. Life should be about just this state of effortless bliss that, you know, mm-hmm. you know, all this stuff. And it just isn't. Not, at least at this time in my life, in this incarnation or mm-hmm. whatever, it's just kind of going toe-to-toe mm-hmm. with conditioning pretty much all day long, mm-hmm. every day, mm-hmm. forever.
Just have a conditioning every day, forever. And then there's this idea that it should just be effortless bliss, and but seeing that's really not what your life is.
Yeah, well, at the same time, it's funny to say, is what it's about, because that mm-hmm. sounds really pessimistic to say that. You know, that is funny because there is a joy in that mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's like a, you know, kind of a more positive way to say, well, I feel like I'm doing the work that I'm here to do. Mm-hmm. It's like work, like a work project. Like mm-hmm. I have to build something or clean something. Mm-hmm. And cleaning actually really fits. You know, just mm-hmm. I'm just trying to clean up this big mess that's mm-hmm. following me around. Mm-hmm. And if I can remember that is, like somebody else said, yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's goodness operating. Uh-huh. Then there is a joy, the sweet kind of joy that goes along with that. Even though in a moment to moment kind of day by day experience, sometimes it seems kind of tough. Uh-huh.
So there is a sweet joy that goes along with that. At doing the work that you're here to do and cleaning up the mess, and within all of that, that there's a joy there. Mm-hmm. Thank you all.